So the next three or four verses, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is giving examples where you can see me, where you can see God. So in verse number 8, Raso hamapsu Kaunteya, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, Shabda Khe Paurusham Rishu. Raso hamapsu Kaunteya, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, Pranava Sarvedeshu, Shabdakhe Paurusham Rishu. So rasa, rasa means the taste, sapidity means the taste, the liquidity, aham apsu, in water, I am the liquidity, I am the taste, I am the sapidity, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, Kunti's son. So I am the taste in water, I am the liquidness in water. That's why water without liquid, you say if the liquid is gone, will the water be there? No, water has to be liquid. If it becomes solid, you call it ice. If it becomes steam, you know, you call it steam. So water is liquid. So he says, I am the sapidity, I am the taste, the liquidity in the water. Prabha asmi shashi surya yoho. Shashi is moon and surya is sun. He says, I am the light in the sun and the moon. I am the light, I am the heat, I am the energy in the sun and the moon. Pranava, pranava is om, the word symbol om. So I, in all Vedas, sarva vedeshu, I am pranava. I am the word symbol om. I am om in all the Vedas. Shabda khe, in space, kha is space, khe means is the seventh case. In space, I am Shabda. I am the sound in space. And Rishu means among human beings, among men. Here it used as men. But it can be among human beings. I am Paurusham. I am the strength. I am the, I am the strength. I am the manliness. I am the humanity in humans. So I am the taste in water. I am the light in the sun and the moon. I am Om in the Vedas. I am sound in space, and I am the humanness in humans. So taste. So again, you know, last week we had talked, water does itself does not have taste, but water lends taste to everything. Anything you need to cook, if it's just powder, you cannot put it in the mouth. It will be taste horrible. But when you mix it with liquid and make it into a vegetable or a dal or, you know, or whatever soup, then it gets its taste. So water is the one that gives taste. And water is a very essential, like for example, when we are in the heat of the sun and you have been working out in your yard or jogging in the heat or bicycling or children are running around playing in the heat and suddenly they get thirsty and they run and when you drink that sip of water, that beautiful taste, Bhagavan Krishna says, I am. You know, the one that fills your thirst. That's why Buddha, in his commentaries, he says, this desire for God is a tanha. It's such a thirst that only God alone can fulfill that. So this water is that which fulfills our thirst of many lifetimes, this water of knowledge. In fact, Jesus, there's a beautiful incident in his life where one time he was going somewhere and he had walked through the desert and he was very thirsty and it had, you know, was very hot. And finally he comes to a small village and there is this lady, you know, there's a public, you know, place and she's, you know, serving water to everybody. And so he comes and asks for water and she says, she gives him water, but she says, aren't you a Jew? You know, there was this thing like Jews are, you know, lower class, just as in also in India where, you know, Harijans, we are not supposed to deal with them, not drink water from their taps and all, wells and all this nonsense. So she says, aren't you a Jew? And, you know, she says, yeah. He says, but I'm giving you water. So she acts very important. So I'm giving you water. He says, thank you very much. But the water you are giving will fulfill man's thirst only for a short while, and then he will be thirsty again. But the water I can give you will fulfill your thirst for many generations, forever, ever, ever. And you will never be thirsty again, because always your heart will be filled with this water of knowledge. So the point is that this water is fulfilling our thirst, but the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the teachings of these great masters can fulfill our thirst for lifetimes. You know, many lifetimes we have been going through this suffering, and who am I, and trying to find joy and all, and going through this cycle of birth and death. But when you get this knowledge, then your thirst will be fulfilled. And that's why Buddha calls it tanha. Tanha means a thirst, thirst of the soul for its master, thirst of the soul for its. So that I am. And then he says, I am the heat. I am the heat in the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon, especially the sun gives us heat, the moon gives us light. So the heat and the light I am. And without heat and light, you know, the sun would be nothing. The sun's properties are heat and light. And same way the moon's properties, light. So what Bhagavan is saying is, I am the essence because of which a thing is a thing. Just as the essence of sugar is sweetness. If it is not sweet, we don't call it sugar. So the essence of the sun is heat and light. The essence of moon is light. The essence of water is taste, sapidity, and all that. So I am that. That's why we chant when we do the aarti. You know, I think everybody knows that aarti. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yam agnihi. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. So he says, the human being, when we offer the aarti, which is a small little flame, and we are saying we are offering it to that Supreme Lord who is there in that form of Krishna or Ram or whoever Bhagavan is there. He says the light that you are trying to show, and you think it will reach that infinite place, you think it will? Tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Even the sun cannot illumine that. Even the moon, even the stars, even the lightning. Nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi. What do you think? This little light will reach all the way up to there. The sun and the moon and the lightning and the stars cannot reach. He says, I know that. But why am I offering? Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. That, after that light, all the lights function. Even this little lamp is that same Bhagavan shining. Even the sun is that same Bhagavan shining. The moon, the stars, the lightning. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. It's that one light alone which is illumining everything. Not only the light, but the light of knowledge, the light of awareness, the light of life. That's why they say life, you know, so that itself. So that is all illumined by that one consciousness. That means I am alive because of that one consciousness. So that's why the aarti is the famous aarti, which is the Vedic aarti, which we always do. Then he says, I am Om in the Vedas. Now the Vedas are four Vedas, and they have thousands and thousands of verses. What is the importance of Om? So they say all the Vedas are contained in the Gayatri Mantra. You know, the Gayatri Mantra is the essence of all the four Vedas. It contains the knowledge of all the, and Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tatsavitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. So he says this Bhuva Swaha, you know, Jana, and all those Tapa, all those higher worlds are all indicated by the Gayatri Mantra, which not only talks about the earth, but talks about all the higher worlds. And so it says this earth, space, heavens, and beyond that. So that means the Gayatri Mantra indicates all the universes. There's all the earth. Earth means all the visible universe, then all the space, which is beyond the planets, then all the heavens, which we cannot see. And beyond that, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha, Tat Savitur Varenyam. The Savitur is the sun god. It means the light of consciousness which illumines that. So, Gayatri Mantra indicates all the universes, and the essence of the Gayatri Mantra is Om. And Om is actually A, U, Ma. But A and U in Sanskrit, when they come together, they become O. So, Om is A, U, Ma. And Om actually represents, we are doing Mandukya Upanishad, maybe you, when Vimalji comes in May, you should talk to him. Then beautiful, in Mandukya Upanishad, this Om Upasana is shown. How Om is worshipped and how A represents the waking, U represents the dream, and Ma represents the deep sleep. And then the silence after, between two Oms, when we chant Om and then there is a silence, then we chant Om. That silence is the origin of Om, because the sound comes out from silence. So there's a lot we can talk about Om. I don't have time to do it, but just in briefly, Om represents all our states, waking, dream, deep sleep, and the state of consciousness, the fourth state, which they call as Turiya, which is the substratum, Chaturtham, which is the substratum on which these other three states appear and disappear. And that is permanent. That is Om. And the waking, dream and deep sleep appear and disappear upon that. So that is called Om. Now the chanting of Om is called Japa. You know, when we do Japa, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Shri Krishna, Sharanam Mama, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So when we are chanting the mantras, all mantras start with Om. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai. So Om is the beginning of all mantras. So when you chant Om, you are connecting with the cosmic sound. And actually they say that when the astronomers, when they go out into deep space, there is a sound hum that they can hear, and that is Om. I actually saw a movie.
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Sorry. So there was a movie a few years ago, about maybe 15, 20 years ago, which actually, in this movie, it was a fiction when they were communicating with this other universe, with some alien, which was like several light years away, and they were communicating and they had their radio ability to... And they were able to, and there they say that the sound you hear is the sound of Om. In fact, even a brook or a stream going by, if you pay attention, you will hear the under Om. So Om is the sound which pervades the whole space. That's why he says, I am sound in space, because space is where the sound is transmitted. So I am that. And the reason, the benefit of chanting, you know, they say you should always take a mala. You know, in our ancient, our mothers and grandmothers used to have this mala, and they will keep on doing. A lot of even swamis and sadhus, they find they carry this mala and they will chant. What is the benefit of that? You say mechanically, Om Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya. It doesn't mean anything. No, they say that the benefit comes after you have been doing it for a few years. The example I heard in one of the commentary is that, say you have been working in a government office for 30 years. And so age of 65, you retire after 30, 35 years you have worked. Now you have worked 35 years. Now you are not working. Then what happens? But a pension, you get a pension, you know. And so every month the check comes to your house. You don't work every month, month after month, you get the pension. And that could happen for another 20 years, 30 years. You know, like my mother-in-law, she's 90 some years. She still gets her pension from her school because she was a teacher and then a principal of a school. So even after she retired, it's been 30, 40 years, the check comes every month to her bank account. So without working, the check comes. So similarly, the chanting of the mantra after you have been doing it for a few years with full attention, and if you can, better to do it with the mala, or if you don't have the mala, just when you are doing nothing, when you're driving, just chant in the mind the name of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, Om Namah Shivaya. Wake up with it. When you go to bed, when you take a shower, when anytime you remember the Lord, So what will happen is after a few years, if you have been chanting, it becomes a-japa-japa. Japa. Means then you don't have to chant. The mantra keeps playing in your subconscious. Just as the pension keeps on coming, even though you are not working. So in your subconscious, this mantra keeps on playing, mantra, because it has become part of your thinking, part of your subconscious. And then he says, I am the manliness in man or the femininity in humans, you know. So whatever makes humans human, I am that. Whatever makes a man, man. You know, like man is physically strong. Women are emotionally strong. Actually, women are physically stronger too. Nature has made them stronger. That's why they live longer, because they have, you know, they have to take care of children, their children, and do all that. So, and but there's always an argument, you know, who is superior. So this reminds me, there was this bookstore, multi-story bookstore, you know, like one of these huge Barnes and Nobles. And so this man goes and asks the lady at the counter, he says, do you have a book? I heard there is a book called Man is Master of the House. Do you have that book, Man is Master of the House? She looks at him and says, sir, fiction is on the second floor, comedy is on the third floor. So if you want to find, it's either fiction or comedy, you're making a joke. So the point is that I am the everything. I am the manliness in men. I am the sound in space, because in space sound travels. I am Om in all the Vedas. I am the light in the sun and the moon. And I am the taste in water. So Arjuna still doesn't look satisfied. Bhagavan says, you need more examples? He says, okay. All right. Here's another verse. Verse number 9.